JC Corcoran Podcast.
Joni Mitchell is joining fellow singer-songwriter Neil Young in asking for her music to be removed from Spotify. The musicians are protesting against the streaming service, saying it's spreading misinformation about COVID vaccines.
At Spotify, we may have lost a few great artists, but that doesn't mean you can't still enjoy their music, covered by the bands who haven't left.
A boom, 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 boom.
I wanna live with a cinnamon girl. A cinnamon girl.
It's the best of Neil Young and Joni Mitchell, sung by the Cordon Blues.
Hey, old man, take a look at my life.
These guys don't care about COVID or what's true or false. They just want anyone to listen. It's the Joni Mitchell no one asked for.
Boom, boom, boom.
I've looked at life from both sides now.
Boom, boom.
They pay paradise to put up a parking lot.
Guaranteed, these guys will never leave Spotify. We've asked them more than once. Spotify, if anybody else leaves, you're getting covered by this guy.
Hey, hey, my rock and roll will never die. Will never, 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 never die.
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
I might sound a little funny here for a couple of minutes because I just sneezed like about 11 times. How you doing, kids? Anybody surprised? The Schnucks Panic Aisle is open. It's about as open as can be. The groundhog is going to try and stick his head out today. It's going to be sealed shut with ice. Poor Chris Higgins from Fox 2 is out in the van.
Snow
here,
from
here
Owensville up through Troy. It's the northern and northwest half of the metro that's likely to see the most snow out of this morning batch, but that changeover has settled south to about Interstate 44 in the Merrimack River, and that will translate eastbound over into Illinois. The bottom line is roads are super, super slick. They are now ice and snow covered at least as far as Chesterfield, and I have to believe it's further east. I know Molly was talking about an Interstate 64 closure. I believe that was eastbound at 270. She'll have more of the specifics. The
poor man is so despondent, he's already resorted to using Molly. Well, it's Wednesday, February 2nd. 281 days remaining in our American system of government as we've known it. But as they say, today we have bigger fish to fry. We have some serious flake news here today.
Flake news is a copyrighted feature.
Like I said yesterday, don't fuck with me on this. I'm tired of people stealing my stuff. Yeah, Schnucks Panic Aisle is wide open. And the other nice thing that happens every time there's major snowfall outside in St. Louis is Channel 4 meteorologist Steve Templeton gets to demonstrate how he doesn't know how to correctly pronounce the word accumulate.
Accumulating snow. Accumulate. Accumulating some accumulation. Accumulation. More accumulating snow. Accumulate. 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 Accumulation. Accumulating snow. Accumulate. Accumulating. 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 And it would accumulate. Accumulating. And boom, it accumulates. Accumulation. 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 So the big question is, how much?
No, the big question is how many. How many times can you mispronounce accumulate? How do you get out of weather school? How do you get hired? Doesn't anybody at Channel 4 care? Steve, hey, after the show, come on and see me. Hey, dude, you've been with the station like 10 years, and you have been mispronounced. Never mind. You're going to see lots of idiots on social media today, because what's going to happen here is we're going to have this initial burst of ice and snow for a few hours and a couple of inches, and then it's going to really clear up for as many as, I mean, it could be 4 to 6 hours where nothing will be happening, and people are like, ah, instead of a foot of snow, look what we got out there, like 2 inches, dumb weather guys. You'll get a lot of that today because they're not paying attention and they don't understand that the second wave of this thing, which will probably happen, I don't know, sometime tonight. I think they originally were saying it would be overnight tonight, but now I think they're moving that up to about 9 o'clock tonight. That's when the really heavy stuff starts coming down. There's your 5 to 8 inches on top of whatever we get. And there are going to be some places that get a little less, and there's going to be some places that get some more, and then there's going to be some places that get a real lot more. Weather Channel's been here for 2 days. Mike Seidel. We didn't get Jim Cantore. We got Mike Seidel. Oh, and Channel 4, by the way, is in storm mode, but now they're also adding team coverage, because when it's not snowing, they don't function as a team. So now, instead of just storm mode or team coverage, they're now saying team coverage storm mode. They've slapped them together.
The snow turned into rain.
So that's what's going to be happening. Depending on where you are, this thing is basically moving from the northwest to the southeast. St. Louis now completely engulfed in snow. Looks like the northern half of Jefferson County also doing snow. And, that's all moving now to the south. You go down to Farmington and places like that, it's going to be a major ice storm. There's going to be so much power out. I will only tell you, if you know anybody with a generator, find them immediately, because you're going to need this. Now, all kidding aside, this is one of those times where sometimes it is it's worthwhile to remind everybody what happens when stuff like this goes on. So if you're sledding, just remember, if you're going down a hill and there's ice underneath, chances are whatever you're on, whether it's a sled or a saucer or whatever, or a snowboard, it's going to go about twice as fast. How do I know that? Because I did that once, back in the 90s. We had an ice storm and then snow on top of it, and I go sliding down the hill, and I'm going like 60 miles an hour. It's like, holy shit. So watch out for that. Also, downed power lines. Don't go anywhere near them. This is where you have issues regarding carbon monoxide poisoning, where people have furnace issues, or, you know, there are vents that get covered over with snow, and you got issues there. That happened to our friend Karen Kelly, who was part of the show for a long time. Her whole family almost died from carbon monoxide poisoning back in, I think it was the late 70s. Her brother was working at a restaurant on the cleanup shift, so he would get home in the morning about 6 or 6:30. He walks in, and nobody's awake, nothing's going on, and he realizes that there's a carbon monoxide leak in the house and drags everybody out onto the front lawn, calls the fire department, and they revived everybody. So that shit actually does happen. Also, watch for just plain old slipping on the ice and snow. That's how it led to my first back operation. People always think, oh, look at that, he fell down. Did you get it on video? We can send it to Bob Saget's friends who are still doing the show. You can go down real hard, and I did. Heart attacks, shoveling snow. We talked about the generators. Oh, and don't, if you have a generator, don't operate the goddamn thing inside the house or inside the garage, because that will produce carbon monoxide, and then you die from that too. Generators got to be outside, far away from the house. When you're parking your car, particularly if you're in the city, just keep in mind the plows are going to go by at some point when this whole thing is done, and first of all, make sure you're not violating any laws as to where you are parking, because you'll get a ticket. And then also, you know, damage to the car, or just eventually having to dig the thing out. And if somebody comes by with a plow and just buries the car in snow, it's going to take that much longer to get out eventually when it is time to get out. So just watch out for that sort of stuff. See what see if Kent's saying anything interesting here.
Still in that transition zone right through the middle of St. Louis. So our eastern and southern counties picking up more rain and ice while the snow continues to pile up in the northern part of the viewing area. As we go through the day, things start to taper off a little bit. That's at noon. There's 3 o'clock. Look, things are starting to shut down. Still getting ice, still icy in the southern parts of the viewing area. But by the what would normally be the evening commute and down to 9 o'clock, we're talking about very little in additional precipitation. No additional accumulation at that point. So beginning about 10 or 11 o'clock, the next wave moves in. Many of you, especially in the southern part of the viewing area, this and the metro area, this is when you're going to see the highest snowfall rates and the most accumulation of snow as we move through the early morning hours on Thursday. Now, it also looks to shut down pretty early. By 7 a.m., you can see the back edge of this coming into view.
So at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, we could be talking about the storm being over 24 hours from now. So let's see what happens here. But Kent does a nice job, too, and can pronounce accumulate.
Accumulating snow. Accumulate. Accumulating some accumulation. Accumulation. More accumulating snow. Accumulate. 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 Accumulation. Accumulating snow. Accumulate. Accumulating. 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 And it would accumulate. Accumulating. And boom, it accumulates. Accumulation. 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 So the big question is, how much?
You big dummy. Let's see how that Texas power grid does all day today and tomorrow. You remember this about a year ago, the power grid? Because, you know, Texas is special. It's very special. I lived there for a while. It's so special. You can't use our power grid. Not if you're special. You have to have your own power grid, which froze up 4 million people sitting there without power a year ago. And similar situations appear to be presenting themselves in the Lone Star State. And now you have all these goofy people in Punxsutawney.
Favorite bucktooth rodent, the groundhog, saw his shadow.
Yeah, well, we're not looking forward to that. At least I'm not. But we'll get through it all. Good morning to you. Wednesday, February 2nd. You're watching The Power of Two at 6 a.m.
All right. Lynn Tron, do you believe in the groundhog?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Well, this is probably one of those times.
Right. Oh, 6 more weeks. Oh, that's terrible. Yeah, it's pretty messy out there this morning.
Fox 2 using the groundhog for reliable weather information. Oh, God. The groundhog, by the way, right about 39% of the time. They've been keeping track of this for like 100 years or something like that, and Punxsutawney Phil's been right about 39% of the time. By the way, prior to 1993, the Groundhog Day event in Punxsutawney, you'd get a crowd of maybe a couple of thousand. Then the movie comes out, and now between 10 and 20,000 people descend on Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, with the exception of last year because of the pandemic. In the movie, nobody knows how long Bill Murray's character, Phil, was stuck in the same day. Harold Ramis, who directed the movie, said it was probably 30 to 40 years, but in the original script, he was looping for 10,000 years. In the movie theater, it's like, I better go out and get more popcorn.
It's Groundhog Day!
Oh, Harold Ramis, I'm sorry you had to hear that. It's
oh, man.
All right, first of all, tell the story about how you ended up at Washington University, because if I remember this story correctly, you told me a story about how you ended up going to Wash U. Were you not a stowaway?
My best friend in high school was going to go to, wanted to go to Wash U, and I was going to go to Illinois because my family didn't have a lot of money, and I had a scholarship to Illinois, and he said, well, why don't you apply to Washington U and ask for financial aid? So I applied there, and I got a 4-year scholarship. So
just
I
like
went.
That.
He didn't even get in. And you know, and I
so your pal who wanted to get in.
We're not friends anymore, but
didn't make it in.
Yeah, people forget that Harold spent 4 years in St. Louis, got a lot of ideas for Animal House and stuff like that. But what a great movie. We talked to Andy McDowell, who was so good in the movie, by the way.
Sex, Lies, and Videotape. People saw you in that. 4 Weddings and a Funeral with Hugh Grant. People loved that movie. But I want to ask you about Groundhog Day, because that's one of those movies that was made, close to 20 years ago now.
Yeah.
And it still pops up on cable. And I don't know if I'm like everybody else, but when I could be vacuuming or something or just channel surfing on a Saturday afternoon, and I can pick up that movie almost anywhere in it, and I will sit there and I will stop and I will watch it to the end. Why do you think that is?
one of those magical movies. It's like a holiday classic. It's like there are some movies that it doesn't, they're timeless, and it is a timeless film, and every once in a while, everything comes together perfectly, and that was one of those movies. Everything just came, lined up and came together perfectly.
And I don't think it ever got enough credit for what a good love story it was. It was a fantastic love story between you and Bill Murray.
It was. It's innocent, and also it's, there is a whole spiritual side to it that people use it all the time to, like, as a life lesson. It's sort of a, you know, what it was about getting it right. How many of us would love to be able to get it right? And we all screw up. So it has a great, you know, just a great story and theme to it that people really love.
I like her. I like her a lot. I like her work. She was so good in that movie. But I interviewed her for a movie that she got stuck in called The Adventures of, not Ford Fairlane, what was it? It was, what was that dopey Bruce Willis, Danny Aiello movie? The Adventures of Hudson Hawk. I got my adventures mixed up there. Yeah, The Adventures of Hudson Hawk. And it was a memorable moment for me. There was this clod out of Miami, Don something. I can't remember his last name, but he was just such a, he was a social clod. And he was one of the reporters that would go on these film junkets. And there were several hundred of us that would, you know, you'd see the same people every weekend that you would go out to LA or to New York to do these interviews. And then you come back and you put them on TV. And I did that for years. So this guy was, he had the interview right before me. And the door opens up at the end of his interview, and you can tell that something has just happened in that room that was unpleasant. And Andy McDowell's face was beet red. And you could even tell that the assistants, you know, all the people who are working on the interview crew are sort of looking at me like, oh, brother, oh, brother, oh, brother. And I walk in there, and her, like I said, her face, she was very, very flustered, very upset about something, and then sort of almost did like this physical attempt to regain her composure, as if to say, well, this is not the guy who was just here. I got a new person here. I can't carry over what just happened to this guy. He didn't do anything wrong, but I could tell that there was something really, really awful that happened. It turned out that the guy ahead of me had made some reference to her in the interview, had made some reference to her period. I didn't find that out until later. Yep, welcome to Hollywood, everybody. But 10,000 years, according to the original script, that's amazing. Even 30 to 40 years. The first Groundhog Day celebration was in 1887. And what they did is, after they held up the groundhog, they ate it. Apparently, they taste like a cross between pork and chicken, by the way. Puck's Tony Phil is the groundhog everybody pays attention to. There's lots of other towns that have their own weather-predicting rodents, including Milltown, New Jersey. It's about halfway between New York and Trenton. They've got a groundhog named Milton Mel, who also predicts if it's going to be an early spring. But this year, they had to cancel the event because Mel just dropped dead.
We got us a dead groundhog.
They announced his death on Facebook and said they couldn't find a replacement groundhog in time. A replacement groundhog. So they had no choice but to cancel the event. The good news is, they say, Mel lived a pretty long life for a groundhog. His age isn't exactly clear, but they only live around 3 years in the wild, which is where I think they got that reporter from Miami. Hey, did I mention it's snowing? It gives the media, the people on TV, a real opportunity to show off what they know.
And here we snow again.
Here we snow again.
Here we snow again.
Say it isn't snow.
Say it ain't snow.
Say it ain't snow.
There is no business like snow business.
There's no business like snow business.
Snow biz.
No doubt about it.
Going snowware fast.
Oh, snow.
Snow way.
There's nobody better.
Snow me the money.
Ice, ice, baby.
Snow my God.
Snow MG.
Snow my goodness.
This snow joke. Get it? Our producer was very proud of that line, so I feel like I had to say, it's no joke.
It's no joke.
Oh, man, I'm watching this. The conditions are just deteriorating right before your very eyes here.
This morning in quite a few different spots. Just had one here, 370 near 94, and they were able to get moving again.
There's cars out. Not a lot of them, but there's a steady stream of traffic.
Rough conditions there, as you can see, 364 right near Highway.
You can't see, but I can.
Here's the big map. Want to thank meteorologist Chris Higgins for sending me this photo right as he crossed over the boom.
Oh, yeah, the TV stations also, they want you to do their work. Instead of sending camera crews out to get pictures of stuff, everybody's posting their website and say, hey, send us pictures and videos of what it looks like at your house, because Laura Hediger doesn't want to mess up her hair. So, what am I laughing about? Major League Baseball negotiations yesterday, 90 minutes. They're described as heated, and that the two sides are, and this is a quote, very far apart. So last night, as we told you yesterday morning on the podcast, yesterday was the 40th anniversary, of the debut of Late Night. You know, Johnny Carson used to do his show, and then, I don't know, they played the national anthem and the station went off the air. I don't really remember what they did. Some TV stations ran movies after Johnny Carson. Yeah, the Tomorrow Show with Tom Snyder for a while, which I really enjoyed. He was on for many, many years and then came back a second time and then was replaced by Craig Kilborn. Boy, he really fell off the edge of the earth, huh? So anyhow, to commemorate 40 years of Late Night, they invited Seth Meyers, who's doing the current version of Late Night, invited David Letterman to come on and reminisce, which he did. He showed up in the studio and everything, got a very rousing welcome and was on for two or three segments. And this was my favorite moment of the night. It's amazing because you forget how funny Dave is on an extemporaneous basis, how he can just take something and just make it funny. And Seth was clearly being just absolutely entertained by Dave just going off last night. And you forget how well David Letterman can tell a story.
Now, it's not always fun and games. This is a photo of Jack Hanna. Made many appearances on your show.
Countless.
But this is a day that did not go particularly well. You want to tell us what's happening?
You know, I had forgotten about this. Jack, for those of you who may, anyway, I'll tell you, was a tremendous guy, a very nice guy, and he was the director of the Columbus Zoo for years and years and years, and like two or three times a year. Do you have a guy that comes on with animals?
We don't have an animal guy.
What?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You don't have an animal guy?
I can tell you, we don't have an animal guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
Well, anyway.
So he would bring wild and exotic and unregistered animals onto the show. And they would be, you know, like 40-foot snakes. And we'd have bald eagles and condors and 1,000-year-old turtles and all kinds of, zoo animals, you know.
Yeah.
And Jack would, as it turned out, two or three shows in, we realized Jack knew nothing about animals. But he had his little safari suit on, so... And I was talking to Jack about a year ago, and I had completely forgotten about this. And this is Jack there, and that's his headshot. At toward the end of the segment, the beaver, they have long teeth.
Famously.
Because they're constantly eating wood, famously. That's right. Without that, they'd be And the beaver punctured Jack right between the index finger and the thumb. And I'm told that that's a source of gushing blood. Thank you, Jack. Columbus Zoo, director of the Columbus Zoo. Jack goes backstage, and he's hemorrhaging. And he's got his hand right here. And we were not far from a hospital down south of here. And Jack said, no. Jack didn't want to. He didn't want to call attention. He was afraid he would embarrass the show. I never had that fear. I became inured to that. Jack walks into the, and nobody, he couldn't give him a ride. Jack walks into the emergency room, and the woman or the attendant, whomever it was, at the desk picks up the emergency phone because Jack's now covered with blood in his abdomen. Gunshot victim, gunshot victim, gunshot victim. click. Now, everybody in the hospital comes running out toward Jack. And they said, where were you shot? This and that. And Jack said, no, I wasn't shot. I was bitten by a beaver. And now the police hear that maybe, now this is a real violation, because the police come over and they say, you know, there are no beaver in New York, sir. Because they think they got, who knows what they got. And he said, no, the beaver is mine. And the police said, you're not allowed. It's illegal to have a beaver in New York City.
Sure.
Yeah. So he goes from being bitten by the beaver, mistaken as a gunshot victim, to arguing with the police about what he is doing with a beaver. And the whole time the poor man lost like a quart of blood over the deal. That's why you need an animal guy.
That's quite a sales pitch.
Yeah.
That's quite a sales pitch.
Get one of those guys.
What a pleasure just to see Dave in that environment again. How fun was that? If you get a chance to watch it later on today, if you missed it last night. ABC insiders are saying that Whoopi Goldberg is in, and this is their words, deep shit. They have suspended her now for 2 weeks, and they're sort of hoping that the whole thing blows over. And this is one of my favorite anniversaries, in a very sick, twisted, perverted way. So the year is 1991. I was just telling this story a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, if you missed it. Gino Cavallini, great player for the St. Louis Blues, and doing great work, by the way, in the Chicago area now with young boys and girls who are trying to learn hockey but are trying to learn life along with it. He's got a foundation, and apparently, from what I know about it, doing just absolutely sensational work. Gino's a good guy. Used to work for an investment firm in Clayton along with his brother Paul. So anyhow, both Cavallini brothers, you know, just hellions, you know, and great hockey players, but you know, good guys. So we're doing the show, and in the middle of the show, exactly on this date in 1991, there's a story that suddenly appears in a hockey magazine that is based out of Minneapolis. And somebody sent it to us, and I open it up. I'm looking like, what the hell is this? Now, you might recall the story. Even though hockey players wear these giant gloves with padding all over the place, there's not really much padding on the inside because you wouldn't be able to grip the stick. You wouldn't be able to hold on to anything. So the padding is on the outside of the glove. And if you've ever worn a hockey glove, you know what I'm talking about. Somehow, one of the Chicago Blackhawks players fires a slap shot. You know, those things are going like 120 miles an hour. And it somehow hit Paul Cavallini in the finger and pinched the finger against the hockey stick and just cut it right off. A gruesome injury, terrible injury to have. I can't even imagine how painful and how bloody, and then just the psychological impact of looking down and realizing, oh shit, I don't have a tip of my finger anymore. So needless to say, they have to do surgery. I guess it wasn't completely sheared off. It was like partially attached. And they had to go ahead and say, well, there's no way to attach this again. So we're going to have to just cut it off, cut the rest of it off. And yeah, as you know, if you ever worked in a hospital or know anything about this stuff, you know, there's pathology labs and stuff. So when you remove a limb or part of a limb or an extremity, or even if you go in for like a gallbladder or something like that, they put those things in formaldehyde and they have to hold on to them for a certain amount of time. I don't know what the protocol is, but they do hold on to them, put them in a jar and put it in the pathology lab. So we're just talking about this, about how awful the injury must be. And I just sort of, in passing, I say, wow, you know, as ravenous as St. Louis Blues fans are, you could imagine that if you could get a hold of that finger, you know, you could probably auction it off for charity and probably get thousands of dollars for it. And we all laughed, and we the show just moved on from that point. Well, this female hockey reporter out of Minnesota, writing for the hockey magazine, somehow got wind of this story and printed the most bogus, ridiculous version of what happened, saying that we were auctioning it off and saying things like the sickos were severely reprimanded by station management, which was a joke. The program director came in and heard all about this. He's like, wow, we might get on TV for this. He thought it was great. And by the way, how the hell would she know whether or not I was severely reprimanded or not? How would she know that? So she just really made up a story. Well, now that story ends up getting picked up and reprinted in various formats, various newspapers and stuff like that. It's 1991, so the internet wasn't really, really what it is now. But we start getting phone calls from radio stations all over the country wanting to interview us, wanting to interview us about this thing. And I was like, what the hell is going on? This is all made up. I mean, the story is, you know, what I told you, that we just were talking about it on the air. And I just sort of mentioned in passing, oh, wouldn't that be something if you could get the finger and auction it off? You get a lot of money for charity. That's all we did. But now this version of the story, this made up version, is the one that becomes the version that everybody sees. And we have to tell people it's not really what happened. It's not even close to what happened. Well, a guy I've known for a while in Chicago, Jonathan Brandmeier, sometimes known as Johnny B, one of the most popular radio personalities in the history of Chicago radio, gives us a call. I'm thinking, well, you know what? If Johnny B is calling, okay, we'll go ahead and we'll do that show. And here's how it sounded.
Don't answer it.
Yeah.
Don't answer it.
Are we in St. Louis?
We are.
Hey, JC, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Johnny, how you doing?
This is JC Corcoran, ladies and gentlemen, from KSD Radio in St. Louis. JC is the guy we were talking about. You know, I had to know it had something to do with you guys. Anyway, folks, JC is the guy we're talking about. This was in the Tribune yesterday, JC. The Blues' Paul Cavallini was shocked to hear one of St. Louis's morning radio personalities was planning to auction off the tip of his left index finger for charity. We stopped there yesterday for about 5 minutes. That was good. He lost it to a Doug Wilson slap shot in a game against the Hawks in December, and some hospital clerk was going to give it to you, and the clerk got fired, and Cavallini said, I was nearly crying when I heard about it, to think they'd use that as humor. Now, we thought it was a gull darn good radio giveaway. Where did it go wrong?
Well, we thought it was a good idea, too. Let me first say that the characterization by the guy who wrote the story is a little bit off. For example, we had Paul. I talked to Paul Cavallini like within seconds of the show ending. This happened about 2 weeks ago, and he's fine. I mean, for these quotes make it sound like he's crushed and all that. I think initially you got to keep in mind this happened like 2 days after he had the finger cut off, and he was under some heavy sedation. All right, so he's half asleep. They wake him up in the middle of the morning, say somebody's trying to give away his finger. what kind of condition would you be in?
Yeah, Paul, wake up. I just heard someone giving away your finger.
Exactly.
KSD, they're giving it away right now.
That was the whole idea. Paul Cavallini gives you the finger, literally, and the whole thing kind of went wrong, you know.
We're giving you the bird on KSD. Moses. Now, you really paint a funny picture here. So here's this guy, sedated, he's lost a finger. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's not funny that a man has lost his finger. It's funny that...
Somebody's giving it away. Yeah. Well, see, the thing is, the girl who worked at the hospital called us up, and all she says, you know, our producer Libby Cochin is here, and she says, there's a girl on the phone. She works at the hospital where they took Paul Cavallini to. She says she has Paul's finger. So you know, as you know, with a show like this, this is going to go on the air right away. Figure maybe we can raise some money for charity. John, you know that when you do something like this, you got a 50-50 chance of the thing being real funny and the guy saying, great idea, and a 50% chance of the guy saying, you want it that sick, you know, which is what he said. But everything's okay. Everything's okay.
Yeah, but see, where it went wrong probably then is that Paul Cavallini was under sedation and he woke up listening to your show.
Yeah. See, part of the problem is you think in terms of hockey players kind of being indestructible. You know, like some guy skating around, the scoreboard falls on him and they stitch him up and he's back out for the third period. So when the guy had his finger cut off, we figured, big deal. Well, I mean, as it turns out, it was actually a little more serious than that. And what none of the sports reporters bothered to report here was that it was actually still very... The guy can't even skate because they won't let him sweat, because if he sweats, the finger could get infected. He could lose the whole finger. Now, nobody even told us that. If they would have told us, we would have never done it.
I mean, it's funny on so many different levels, not the least of which is that what ended up getting circulated worldwide wasn't even what happened. It is just another example of how people make shit up. All right, we're out of time. Late night tonight, you've got Jimmy Fallon with Julia Garner, Andy Cohen on with Kimmel, Stephen Colbert's got Tim McGraw and Martha Stewart, Annette Bening on with James Corden, and Seth Meyers has Charlie Day. Birthdays today, Shakira, 45, Hips Don't Lie. Christy Brinkley looking good at 68. Graham Nash, wonderful human being, greatest guy ever, from Crosby, Stills, and Nash, 80 years old today, and Tommy Smothers is 85. Watch out for the weather. The Schnucks Panic Aisle is open. Channel 4 is in store. Storm mode. And forget about that stupid groundhog. He saw his shadow. Probably just means he's paranoid from smoking too much weed. And with that, we say the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Wednesday, February 2nd, 281 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it, is in the can. We're here every weekday morning, bright and early at 7 a.m., absolutely free. If you miss a podcast, don't forget they're archived. Email me at jc@jconline.com. Facebook, the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. We'll be here tomorrow morning as you wake up, because the bulk of the accumulating snow is going to happen from about 9 o'clock tonight up until about, I don't know, 7, 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. That's when the heavy stuff is coming down. You're going to be sleeping. When you wake up tomorrow morning, kaboom. So be prepared, not like you weren't warned. And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.